Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday. The Packers were back out on the practice field getting ready for that wild card weekend showdown with the Philadelphia Eagles. And the big news of the day, Jordan Love, a full participant, bumping up from limited participation on Wednesday. That's obviously good news. His backup, Malik Willis, also a full participant. So both Packers quarterbacks getting out there, giving it their all, full participants. You absolutely love to see that trending in the right direction. Jordan said yesterday he's hopeful he's going to play. Certainly this underlines, emphasizes the idea that he's getting better. We'll see how he responds, because that's often, you know, what you want to look at on that Friday practice after a full participant on Thursday. But that's good news. Other good news is TJ Slayton, who had been a DNP, did not participate on Wednesday, was at least limited. He was out there today. And I think Slayton's a sneaky need in this game as far as trying to bottle up the Eagles' rushing attack. Slayton obviously helps. He's a pretty singular presence there along the defensive front. Hopefully he's able to go despite that ankle injury. Again, Friday, I think, will tell us a lot more, but good to see him trending in the right direction as well. Xavier McKinney speaking in the locker room after practice, talking about how they seem to be getting very healthy on the defensive side of the ball. Guys like Quay Walker, Evan Williams, etc., getting back out into the mix. Got to think they're going to be close to full strength. Obviously, the big outlier there is Jaire Alexander, who is shut down for the year. But for the most part, it sounds like they're going to be pretty full to the brim, so to speak, roster-wise, when it comes to putting out a defense in the best possible way they can to try and slow down, because you're never going to stop this Philadelphia Eagles offense. And speaking of the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, again, a limited participant today and still in the concussion protocol. Now, I know most people assume that this is a formality and he will be out there on Sunday afternoon, and I do think that is the case, but it is something to keep an eye on. It is something they could literally take up until game day, until inactives are announced an hour and a half before kickoff. So it's something to track. Again, I fully suspect he'll be out there, but you never really know 100% until they make the declaration. So we'll see how that transpires throughout the week. But on the Packers side of things, again, obviously good news. And one other note regarding the Green Bay Packers today, shout out Edgerrin Cooper, your defensive player of the month for the month of December. A month, by the way, where he started that first game, he was still injured. So he obviously came back from injury and made a case. The NFL announcing today he is the NFC defensive player of the month, rookie defensive player of the month. You love to see it. This kid is everything that you have ever wanted at the linebacker spot in Green Bay. We've talked about it before. The kid has potential to be really, really special, and hopefully this is just the start of a game-changing type career there in at the inside spot in the Green Bay defense. And a guy who only played 11 snaps the last time these two teams met down there in Brazil, did some nice things. I actually remember asking Matt LaFleur about it after the game, because he really jumped off the field as far as, you know, a guy who had not gotten a lot of time in the summer due to injuries. But you could see it right from that first game. A guy who really kind of stands out athletically. And again, only played 11 snaps in that matchup. Got to think, given all he's done here in the last month or so for Green Bay, he's going to be a bit more of a difference maker this time around. Hopefully helping to bottle up, never going to stop, but contain a little bit the presence of Saquon Barkley. Clearly, that is a net positive for the Packers as far as his involvement. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Already folks mixing it up. Jeremiah, how are you? Stu, football. Chuck Olson, how are you? Before we get going, let's give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdraws, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Here are my picks for tonight's college football playoff. Send me your lineups, whether it's in Twitter, email, Aaron at CheeseheadTV.com, Facebook message, wherever you find me. Send me your lineups. Use the link in the description of this video. And remember to use code CHTV. Do it, people. I mean, we are about to hit a stretch starting tonight of phenomenal football games for the next basically 5 days. And you can use Prize Picks for each and every one of those contests. So get on it, folks. All right, folks, what's going on? Let's get to your questions, comments, concerns. Adam starting us off with a super sticker. Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for the support. Very much appreciated. What else we got here, folks? We got Jake. How you doing, man? Hey, Nags, how many times does Matt LaFleur need to go for it on fourth down in the red zone against a divisional opponent, not get it, and lose by three or less? I believe four of our divisional L's were within 3 points. Yeah, Jake, it's disconcerting, right? And I'll never kind of condemn him in the moment. I'm sometimes frustrated with not taking the points, but, man, he is, again, and I've talked about this a lot. Hell, I used to talk about this when McCarthy was the coach, because I specifically remember him going for it down in Tampa in 2014, I believe it was, and everyone killed him for it. And then he didn't go for it out in Seattle, and everyone killed him for it. So you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't as a coach because of the result, right? And you can sit here and say, yes, they lost those games by 3 points, and LaFleur didn't take the points, so it's a direct correlation. But that is looking at the result, right? In the moment, the process of it, it's hard for me to kill him. And I get the outcome is frustrating, but I don't mind him being aggressive. I don't mind him trying to, score more points, right? Rather than, quote, settling for three, trying to put six and or seven on the board, or maybe even eight if he's going for two. I hear you. Again, it's just hard for me to get too worked up about it. Jeezy baby, how you doing, man? I think it's sad minority coaches get one and done 35% of the time. The last 10 years compared to 11%, we have much work to do. Go Pack Go. Jeezy baby, you put a lot in there without exclamation points or even punctuation, so I'm going to try and parse it. But yes, it is a ongoing problem with the NFL. I don't think anybody is under any illusions that the issue still remains despite the work they've done with the Rooney Rule, et cetera. And it does kind of rankle you a bit when you see a guy like Gerard Mayo one and done out the door while other coaches, white coaches usually, are allowed to flail around for years on end. Now, look, no one's under any delusions that this is anything more than a personality and or relationship business, right? And it's who you know. And that's why when people try to poo-poo or dismiss the NFL's attempt at, you know, putting things together where they have minority coaches in front of owners, and they've done a few of these now over the course of the last couple seasons, just so they can get FaceTime with them and get to know them a little bit more in ways they probably never would if they were just going through normal hiring cycles, it's at least an attempt, right? But you're never going to change a human nature as far as whoever owns the team and is making these decisions. They've got to do it. And no hand-holding from the NFL, no hand-wringing from the media or the public is going to change that. And that's the unfortunate reality, right? I do think it's a major problem, but it is incumbent upon the NFL owners to change it. And let's just say I'm not holding my breath in that regard. Adam, what's going on, man? Love that the Pack is the underdog. Adam, you know what? I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there with you. I love it when the entire world pretty much counts the Packers out, right? Now, look, I'd love to go in there and prove the world wrong. You've got to do it, right? You've got to show up and you got to kick ass from the get-go. Nothing's a given. But I've said it all week, and I'll continue to say it until kickoff. I like their chances. I think there are a lot of folks that are really underplaying or underselling how effective this Packers team can be if it doesn't beat itself. Of course, the issue is they haven't done a whole lot of that this year, getting out of their own way, shooting themselves in the foot. We've seen that week in and week out. If they could ever stop that, I like their chances. So we'll see. We shall see. What else we got here, folks? Don Vito, how you doing, man? I like Matt LaFleur being aggressive, but it doesn't feel like our identity. That may or may not make sense, but it's the vibe it gives me. I hear you, Don Vito. I think it's tough too when you've got someone in the division like Dan Campbell who has formulated his identity as I'm going for it more often than not. What's weird to me is that early in his tenure, Matt had kind of been that guy. He was almost not always, but oftentimes going for it on fourth down, Whereas now I feel like there's a lot more getting up to the line of scrimmage, trying to get them to jump. They don't jump. Okay, we're going to punt. Now, every once in a while, to the earlier poster's point, there have been, especially in these division games, down deep in the opponent's end, he's been a bit more aggressive than he has been otherwise throughout the season. So it feels like a kind of diversion from his or their true identity in 2024. But again, earlier in his career, it didn't feel that way. So maybe that's a Rodgers having Rodgers thing, thinking, okay, this future Hall of Famer is going to erase some issues or problems or mistakes, etc. And maybe there's some truth to that. But ultimately, as Matt has said, it's down to his gut feeling. And it's hard to argue with a gut feeling. I mean, you can show all the analytics in the world, all the probabilities, all the percentages, etc. But in that moment, in that building, against that team, in that situation, down a distance, what have you, he's going to make the call. And it is his call. Matthew, what's going on, man? Quay and Cooper could be cooking with gas. Let's hope so, man. I mean, it is always kind of difficult to really get a feel for how a guy is going to come back from injury, right? Quay has missed a bunch of time now, much like Cooper did. And Cooper came back pretty well that first game, but it always takes a little bit of time to settle in, right? And hopefully that's not at the cost of some big plays, missed assignments, missed tackles, etc. Hopefully he's able to hit the ground running, right? Where I'm fascinated to see how it affects things is in obviously the kind of passing defense, but specifically third down defense, because man, they have really, really been killed. And it's kind of been all season, but it's certainly been the last two or three games where third down, seven or so to go, run off the coverage, run a back to the sticks, turn around, first down. And oftentimes they're trying to take advantage of Eric Wilson in that spot, right? Now, I know Quay Walker's been taken advantage of in those instances as well, but I do think pairing Walker and Cooper and being able to utilize both of their athleticism on third downs could potentially really change things for the Packers, not just on third down, but overall on defense. So we'll see. Funko, what's up? Do you think Malik Heath gets more shots this weekend? Yes, I do. I think we've always heard Matt talk about you got to earn those opportunities, right? Well, I definitely think Malik has earned some more opportunities. And I don't know that it's going to be a marked difference or uptick as far as, what did he have, three catches this past weekend? Maybe he has another four or five this weekend, hopefully. I don't think there's going to be a huge chunk on the play sheet that is specific to Malik, but I do think, yeah, he's earned more opportunities. He certainly earned more time on the grass, like they, as they like to say. And who knows what happens then as far as going through your progressions. And if he's the open guy, he's going to get the ball. But yes, 100%, I think he's earned more opportunities. No question. Joe, what's going on, man? Justice writing about how Philly passing offense will be more of a test for Packers outside corners than what they face lately. Thoughts? I think that's true to a point. I mean, they being the Eagles, are still very much a run-heavy team, a run-first team. Everything flows through their running game. But yes, no question about it. I mean, those are two supremely talented wide receivers. That said, I don't think they're way more talented than what they faced in Minneapolis. Now, where Minnie really killed the Packers was going to their auxiliary guys, right? The Packers did a pretty decent job early in that contest against Justin Jefferson and Addison. Obviously, as the game went on, those guys got theirs. But some of that was predicated on injuries happening, the Packers kind of shuffling things, needing to shuffle things because of injuries. But I think the game plan was solid and sound. And yes, you know, Naylor and the tight end and those auxiliary pieces, you know, definitely hurt the Packers. No question about it. And the Eagles have one of those in Goddard, who could certainly make hay. And I expect him to, actually. But yeah, of course, it's a huge test. But, you know, without Jair and the way they've been playing for the last month or so, I think they have a handle on how they have to approach it. I don't think it's too big for them. You know, this is a fascinating tidbit that I saw from Bill Barnwell this morning, reading about this matchup. The Packers allowed that over 40-yard completion to A.J. Brown for a touchdown in week one down there in Brazil. Since that time, the Packers have not allowed a gain of over 40 yards on American soil. I mean, and that's with and without Jair, right? And that's facing a ton of really talented pass catchers, ball players, etc. The Packers have done a good job of limiting big plays. Now, teams have paper cut them to death, and I suspect that's what the Eagles will do, but I think the Packers can hold up. I really do. I think this game is going to be a bit more defensive driven than maybe people are expecting. What else we got here, folks? Grant B, what's going on, man? Lose to Philly week one, lose to the final two, including Chicago at home, back to Philly for the wild card. These are the bizarro 2010 Packers. Love our chances. Grant, whatever you need to hold on to, man, that's what it's all about. If it's the inverse Packers kind of march to the Super Bowl, whether it's the lucky socks, whatever you need, dude, hold on to it. I like it. Javier, what's going on, man? Hey, Nags, no questions. Want to say thank you for your work. Have been listening since 2016. Big fan of you, Corey, and Cheesehead TV. Again, amazing work. That is incredibly kind of you, sir, and you're apparently joining us from outside the States. So appreciate you connecting to the Packers through Cheesehead TV in any way, shape, or form. Thank you, Javier. That's greatly appreciated. Ed, what's going on, man? Been following Hurts since his college days. Ton of respect for him. It will be nice when the Packers give him an extended offseason to heal up. I mean, I think he's incredibly, and this sounds weird to say, but I think he's incredibly underrated as a quarterback. I mean, his own fans turn on him on a dime when he has a bad day, but I think he's incredibly talented, and I'm scared to death of him coming into this game 100% because he can hurt you in a lot of different ways. No question about it. Randy, what's going on? If I'm the Eagles, I am playing man versus the Packers more often than not with Watson out. What do you think is the key factor there? The Packers running game? Yeah, Brandy. I mean, 100%. The Packers want to be able to run the ball in this game. There's no question about it. They want to get off the bus running the ball. As far as the potential for the Eagles to play man, I do think it makes a world of sense, especially given how the Packers have struggled, even with Christian Watson, to beat man coverage. I think that makes sense. Like, no question about it. Thing is, though, is the Eagles do not play a ton of man. It has not been their MO. Now, they could break tendencies. They could go against profile, as Matt likes to say. But, man, Fangio has been doing this a very long time, and they have been excellent doing what they do all season long. I mean, not all season. I will say they were a bit up and down earlier in the year. But, man, since their bye week, they have been phenomenal on defense, and they have done so not playing a ton of man. I think they can. I think they got the horses to do it, no question. But it just has not been Fangio's MO. But we'll see, because, look, if the Packers do start running the ball and they are effective with it, which I think they can be, then maybe, yeah, they have to get numbers into the box and let guys kind of man up outside and pick their poison that way. But I suspect, at least to start, we won't see a ton of it. I do think they're going to try and run their stuff, you know, especially those old school coaches. They love to say, we're going to do what we do. We're going to run our stuff, and you're going to have to beat it. Well, the Packers are going to have to show that they can beat it, and then maybe they start throwing some other looks at the Packers. John, what's going on, man? Stokes actually has come crazy good ratings since week 11. Has he earned another go-around in Green Bay? John, you must have missed Packer transplants yesterday, which I was somewhat over the top about, but I will reiterate it here. Yes, his ratings, quote-unquote, are good because he's barely playing. He's the dime back. He comes in when it's an obvious passing down, holds down his responsibility, and then goes back to the sideline. Your main guys out there are Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, Bullard in the slot. Like, he is there when it's like third and 12 and they know they're going to have to pass the ball. And yes, he's played well. I'm not taking it away from him. But you want nothing to do. The Packers should want nothing to do with Eric Stokes as a down in and down out corner on the perimeter. Absolutely not. That is asking for disaster. Now, is he back next year? I think there's a possibility. I do think there's a decent chance he hits the road because they're going to overhaul their cornerback room a lot like they did the safety room this past offseason. That's just guesswork on my part. I haven't heard or know anything, but that's where I think this is headed. But we'll see. We shall see. Abdul, what's going on, man? Hey, Aaron, does it look like Hurts will play? Abdul, I talked about it a little bit earlier. It's, you know, assumed by essentially everyone that's covering this game that he's going to play, but nothing's a given. It's something to monitor throughout the next couple of days. He's still in the protocol. He's a limited participant at practice. We've seen guys who are full participants at practice in the concussion protocol who aren't cleared for game day. That happened to Romeo Doubs a couple weeks ago, you know, so we'll see. I suspect, again, he'll play, but nothing's for certain at this point yet. Dustin, what's going on, man? No wide receiver one in Green Bay. Pretty sure we have Yak Master. Man, can we get Tucker Kraft involved early on in this game, please? Abdul, what's going on? How would you beat the Eagles? Any weaknesses? Oof, baby. I mean, weaknesses, not glaring ones. They're excellent up front on offense. They have a really good defensive front. They have a really good defense at all three levels. It's going to be tough, man. Packers have got to be able to run the ball. That's all I know. And they're going to have to get Jordan Love into a rhythm early in this game or else, yeah, it could get ugly. But, yeah, glaring weaknesses, maybe, you know, they have guys that, you know, in the secondary who've all played well, but at times they've given up some big plays, especially the safeties. So maybe there's a chance to attack there, though, without Christian Watson. It's hard to see that happening with regularity, but yeah, there's nothing glaring as far as weaknesses go. I will say, as tough as it's going to be early in this game, and I suspect it will be, the Packers have to stick with the run. Even if they're only getting 2 or 3 yards at a time, got to stick with it. Absolutely have to, and I think it will pay dividends if they do. Klaus, what's up? Klaus puts it much more eloquently. Run the goddamn ball and let defense smoke them. Okay, Klaus. I like where your head's at. Let's do that. Dustin, thanks again. Random Packer, Forrest Gregg. See, okay, I don't know if you can call one of the greatest players to ever wear a Packers uniform a random Packer. Like, I understand, like, he's not a guy who gets talked about a whole lot in the modern pantheon of Packers, but he is one of the greatest to ever lace him up for the green and gold. So, yeah, I don't know if there's anything random about that. What else we got here, folks? Oh, Brett going back in time here. Rewatching the 2010 Packers-Eagles wildcard game, and the Packers ran a fair amount of full house backfield with Quinn Johnson and John Kuhn with James Starks at the running back. Love this wrinkle. Man, remember when Starks burst onto the scene? That was a fun time. That game in particular was a fun, fun time. No question about it. Richard, this is a good question. Do you see Jeff Hafley's defense similar to Brian Flores' first season in Minnesota? Feels like once Hafley gets more new players to fit his scheme, the defense can be more potent next year. Yeah, Richard, I do think they are, you know, probably playing a bit undermanned for what he wants to do. He just mentioned in his press conference a little bit ago about how they've had to adjust things they were thinking about doing at the start of the year, like last offseason. They get into the reality of the season and, okay, we maybe don't have the horses for these courses. You got to change your tactic a little bit. But I do think the obvious thing is needing an edge rusher, needing someone who can give you some disruption, either on the edge or even along the interior, someone who's a disruptor up front. Because if you can get that going, I think they're sitting pretty well regarding, you know, obviously you want to augment corner, but they've got what they need if they can get some kind of regular disruption up front. That is the key. That will take this whole thing to another level. Dustin, what's up? Coach Forrest Gregg. He's still Forrest Gregg. It doesn't matter if it's coach, player, whatever. He's still Forrest. It's like saying random Packer Bart Starr. There's nothing random about either of those guys. They're both legends. Kyle, what's up, man? Matt has to give Love easy checkdown options. These tight ends need to be a factor in the passing game. Let's go Josh Jacobs. Well, Kyle, you got to remember the defense also plays into this a little bit. I mean, there are times when maybe the call has a quote easy checkdown option, but if the defense blitzes or the pressures in a way you weren't expecting when you called said play, and say Love reads that at the line of scrimmage and then checks to a protection that keeps the back in, now all of a sudden he doesn't have that easy checkdown. And I'm not saying, obviously, that doesn't happen every single play, but it is a component. Tight end as well. Like, maybe those tight ends are in line and they're supposed to be going out in routes, and all of a sudden you see an overload on one side, you slide protection, you keep the tight end in, and all of a sudden that quote unquote easy outlet to the flat from the tight end is no longer there in the progression. And again, this is a very case by case as far as the plays go, but yes, sometimes you can have all the plans in the world as far as, oh, I got to make sure he has a check down to go to, but that doesn't mean there's always going to be available in the flow of the game, in the flow of play by play about what the defense is doing and how you're adjusting. Now, I agree. Yes, you 100% want that. There's no doubt about it. You want to be able to give him easy outlets. It's just sometimes the defense will not allow that to happen, or you have to adjust as you're going. Ooh, Simatovich. Notre Dame or PSU tonight? Man, give me the bullet. I kid. I got to go for Notre Dame for one simple reason. Because without Notre Dame, the Green Bay Packers do not exist. That's true. Curley Lambeau, all he did when he started the Packers, he was trying to emulate what he like went through and was with during his time at Notre Dame, right down to the colors of the uniform, right? So if you're going to make this, you know, about, you know, I got to root for somebody, I'm going for Notre Dame for that reason. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. Happy hour tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. The information is on the respective pages. Thank you for your patience. I had to move it from Tuesday to tonight. So we'll chat about the Packers. Maybe we'll talk some college football playoffs. We'll see you all there. In the meantime, please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.